Chesamid Beis, 14 lines from the top. Yeah. Okay, this is going back to the Mishnah, which says in the Shmitin that the first day of Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei, is the Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah, for the sabbatical years. So the Gemara says, Minolan, where do we learn this out from, that the first day of Shemitah is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, meaning Rosh Hashanah? Because it says, Vashonah Shviyis, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Yila Oritz. It says, in the seventh year, it should be Shabbos, Shabbos, meaning it should be a sabbatical year. Mm-hmm. So it says the word Shana. Then another pasuk it says, Vigamer Shana, Shana mitishri. By Tishri it also says the word Shana. Here it says Shana, and there it says Shana. So the Gemara says, where do we see that by Tishri it says the union of Shana? Because it says, Mireishis Hashana, Vad Achir Hashana. Mireishis Hashana, from the beginning of the year which refers to Tishrei. Okay? So therefore, by Tishrei we find the word Shana, and here by Shemitah we find the word Shana. So therefore we learn out that when the Shemitah begin from Tishrei. But the Gemara says, if you're learning it out, Shana, Shana, Veligma, Shana, Shana, Minisin, why don't you learn it out from Nisin? Because by Nisin also says the word Shana. If you're saying because it says the word Shana, then it should apply to Nisin also. Mm-hmm. Why? Because by Nisan it says, Rishon Hulachem Luchachi Hashana. It's the first month of the months of the year. So over there it also says the word Shana. So the Gemara answers, no. Don in Shana She'eni Machadashim. You learn out the word Shana that doesn't have the word Chedish with it. Mishana She'eni Machadashim. From the word Shana that doesn't have the word Chedish. Meaning, one pasuk says Shana and Shana. One pasuk says Chachi Hashana. The month of the year. So over there, Chodesh and Shana go together. So the Gemara says, we'd rather learn it out from Shana Shana without the word Chodesh with it, than from the word Shana Shana that has the word Chodesh with it. So therefore, by Nisan it says Chodesh and Shana. By Tishrei it only says the word Shana. So therefore, that's the way we learn it out. And Vein Dani Shana She'enim Achadashim, you don't learn out the word Shana that doesn't have months with it, from the word Shana that does have the word Chodesh with it. Okay, that's the end of this Gemara. Then the Gemara says, it said in the Mishnah, also Yevil. For the Jubilee year, for the 50th year, it's also, when does Yevil begin? Rosh Hashanah. I mean, Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yevil. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to ask a whole question. And before we go, okay, let's start. The Gemara asks, Yevil is Becha B'Tishrei Hu? Does Yevil begin on the first day of Tishrei? Yevil is Basada b'Tishrei. Yevil begins on the 10th day of Tishrei. Now, let me explain. What happens is as follows. When it comes to the 50th year, it's the year of Yevil. So seemingly, the Torah doesn't say anything about Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, about the Yevil. Then the Torah says, as we'll see through all the Psukim, and Yevil, and Yom Kippur, of Yevil, you blow Shofar. And then the Gemara is going to say, slaves go free, land goes back to the original owner. What happens in Yevil? Yevil is not only a Shemitah year that you're not allowed to plant. That's also true. It has the same din of Shemitah. Plus, on Yom Kippur of Yevil, you blow Shofar, and there's a lot of new dinim happening then. Any slave that, you know, pierced their ears to stay for the 50th year, like this is a Jewish slave worth 6 years. What happens if he says in Mishpatim, the Torah says, what happens if a guy says, I like it here, I want to stay longer? So you take him to Bezni, he pierces his, whatever, you know, and he stays until Yevil. So as soon as Yevil comes, Yom Kippur of Yevil, not Rosh Hashanah of Yevil, Yom Kippur of Yevil, he goes out free. When you buy land in Eretz Yisrael, as we're learning in these days, the Mitzvah and the Rambam, the din is that all land goes back to the original owner on Yevil. In other words, when you sold land in Israel, it was sold until Yevil. So the base, the property, the price of property was based on how many years left to Yevil. If there was more years left to Yevil, the price was higher. Because Yevil came, it went anyway back to the original owner.
So the owner, maybe he's not living this time.
So the kids get it.
The kids get it.
Whatever, whoever, you know, the estate gets it. Now there's a lot of dinim involved. I mean, not only does Yevil have its effect, whatever, but you can't sell the land for permanency in Israel that it's gone from the original owner. Now that begins, the Gemara is going to ask, not an Echad B'Tishrei, it begins on Yom Kippur when you blow Shofar. So the Gemara is asking, what do we see inside now, why do you say that Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is the first day of Tishrei. It's not the first day of Tishrei. It's the tenth day of Tishrei. It's Yom Kippur. The Gemara says Yovel is Becha B'Tishrei. How do you say Yovel? As in the first of Tishrei, Yovel is Basara B'Tishrei. It's on the tenth day of Tishrei. Where do you see it? Because it says Tichsev Ubiyem Akipurim Taviru Shayfar. You blow shayfar. And the shayfar is really was does it, so to speak. So what do you see from here? That Yovel begins on the 10th day of Tishrei. Why does the Mishnah say the first day of Tishrei? So the Gemara answers, you're right. But Hamani, who is the Tan of the Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshel, Rabbi Yechon ben Breikei. It's Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechon ben Breikei. What does he hold? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, it says in the Pasuk, V'kidashtem es shnasa chamishim shana. He's supposed to sanctify the 50th year. So the Gemara says, Matam Leimer, don't we already know that Yovel is the 50th year? Why does the Torah again say you sanctify the 50th year? We're talking about the 50th year. The Torah just said sanctify the year. Why does it say the 50th year? So it says, the fish and Amabiyam Akipurim. Because it says in the Pasuk that Yom Kippur is when you blow Shofar, which implies all the action of Yovel starts in Yom Kippur. So I would think, when does Yovel's sanctity start? Only on Yom Kippur. That you sanctify the 50th year. Melamed, it teaches us that the year becomes sanctified from the beginning of the year. So the Pasuk says a very simple thing. Even though the action begins, on Yom Kippur, but the sanctity of the year begins in the first day of the month, from Rosh Hashanah. Mikan Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshel Rechem ben Breika. From here, Rabbi Shmuel the son of Rechem ben Breika learns as follows: Merosh Hashanah Ad Yom Kippurim. Now the question is, there's a problem. When does it begin? The Pasuk is saying it starts from Yom Kippur, yet the Pasuk is saying it really starts from Rosh Hashanah. So what's going on for those 10 days? So the Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechon ben Breikei, says the following: Merosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim, it's like a compromise. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim, lo hayu avdar avadim niftarim lateim. The slaves did not go home, but lo hayu mishtabdim ladineim. But at the same time, they didn't work. In other words, it's like a compromise. Yeah, they didn't work. That means work is over. They're not slaves anymore, but they still can't go home until Yom Kippur. What do they do? Ela eichlen v'sheisen, they eat and drink as free people. Usmeichem, and they're happy because they're out now freed from slavery. V'atresem b'rasheim, and the crowns are in the head. As the Mefarshim explained, that was a sign of freedom. Because they used to wear turbans, you know, whatever. There was a sign, either a turban or different ways of learning here. Either a turban or actual crown. In other words, they showed a sign of freedom. But they didn't go home yet, because the Torah says Yom Kippur they go home. What happens? Kivin shegiyah Yom Kippurim, when Yom Kippur came, and tiku bezdin b'sheif and bezdin blue sheif on Yom Kippur, then niftar avadim levateyim. The servants go
in Yom Kippur.
Yeah. The Torah says in Yom Kippur you blow sheif of Yevil.
Then they'll live before.
What? The Rosh Hashanah in the Beis Hamikdash they also blew sheif. Even when it fell out in Shabbos.
It's not the bloom, the shofar. Avodim, they're free, they go home.
No, they didn't.
Not on Yom Kippur, they be able to dump.
It depends where they lived. If they lived in walking distance, they're allowed to go home.
But it says they're not going home.
No, on Yom Kippur, they go home. Oh. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, they stayed there. Yeah. Then Yom Kippur, they blew shofar.
They go home.
On Yom Kippur, they blew shofar, and then they went home to the if they were able to. Obviously, if not, they waited until after Yom Kippur. V'sadis chayzen of aleihem, and then also in Yom Kippur, the fields went back to the original owner. Okay, so therefore, what does this Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechon ben Breikei, say? Really, the year starts from Echad B'Tishrei. What did the Gemara ask? How can a Mishnah say the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovel when it's the 10th day? So the Gemara says this is going according to Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechon ben Breikei. What does he say? He says that really it starts from Rosh Hashanah. What does it start Rosh Hashanah? They don't work anymore. They wear the crowns. They eat and drink like free people. But when do they actually become free on Yom Kippur? So now the Gemara says, V'rabbanon. But according to the Rabbanon, what does the 50th year teach us? Meaning, that according to the Chachamim, it only starts in Yom Kippur. Mm. Right? But the Gemara asked the question before. The Brayt asked the question, why does the Torah have to say again, Yovel's the 50th year, if it's understood? So Rabbi Shmuel learns, like we just learned, Rabbi Shmuel explains it to mean that the Torah is telling us the year starts from Rosh Hashanah, partially. But the Rabbanit that don't hold of that, the Rabbanit that hold, that they actually don't go out, nothing happens until Yom Kippur, why does the Torah say the 50th year? Mm-hmm. So he says, what it teaches us is as follows. Years is what you sanctify, and you don't sanctify the moon, the months. What does this mean? The way Rashi explains it, Rashi explains as follows. Bezdin has to say Mekudeshes. This is the din. The din is when the 50th year entered, Bezdin had to proclaim openly, verbally, this year is a sanctified year. Chachamim hold on by Chadashim, you don't have to. And the Gemara is going to discuss this. Well, really, the Gemara discusses it later on in the second parak of Rosh Hashanah. Is it necessary for Bezdin to say Mekudesh, that the month is holy? So the Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, they don't have to. They don't have to. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Tanya Idach, and another Braisa we learned, it says, Yovel he. The Pasuk again says Yovel. That it's Yovel. So the Gemara says, Ma Talmud Leimer, why does the Torah have to tell us again it's Yovel? Because it says, V'kidash t'meshnasa chamishim shana, you sanctify the beginning of the year, the 50th year, Yochel, I would think, Shem shemiskadeshes v'helos mitchilosa. The Joseph, the whole the month, the year is holy from the beginning. Kach miskadesh is ve'ilach is b'seifa, and it goes into the end, into the next year also. I'll explain in a second. So Tamala is going to tell us it not. What does this mean? The Torah says, I would think that when the 50th year is holy, not only do you sanctify the 50th year, but the end of the year, you sanctify part of the next year. Let me explain this concept. There's a concept what's called adding from weekday to holy. We have this every Shabbos, there's a mitzvah, the mitzvah on Yom Kippur, and the Gemara says maybe the same thing applies to Yovel. What does it mean? For instance, it says we learn it out, the Gemara is going to discuss various psukim that we learn it out from. We learn out that not only is the day of Shabbos holy, but you have to add unto Shabbos. That means you have to add, it doesn't say any amount, but you have to bring Shabbos in at least a minute early and leave Shabbos out a minute later. The same thing with Yom Kippur. So the Gemara is asking, I would think that just like the 50th year begins from Yom Kippur, really, the real Yovel starts from the Yom Kippur, I would think that in the 51st year, that Yovel applies until Yom Kippur also. And I would think that the fact that the Torah says Yovel he, that is the Jubilee year, maybe it goes from Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur. Not Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, the real authentic starting of Yovel, maybe it starts a little bit earlier, like Rosh Hashanah starts a little bit until Yom Kippur, and then the next year, it goes from Rosh Hashanah also to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara, this is what the Gemara is saying. Yochel, I would think, Kshem shemiskadeshev zeheilach lachas mitchilosa, just like the year is sanctified from the beginning. I would think, kach miskadeshev zeheilachas b'seifa, you have to sanctify the end of it, and now goes parenthetical. V'hal tisman, don't wonder, how do you do such a thing? Because the fact is, you do add from weekday unto Shabbos, and we learn it out from various psukim. So maybe by Yovel it's the same thing, and maybe Yovel stays Yovel until Yom Kippur of the 51st year. Talmud Leimer so teaches us no. Yevel he shnasa chamishim, that only the 50th year is holy. Shnasa chamishim ata mekadesh. You only sanctify the 50th year. The ata mekadesh shnasa chamishim v'achas, but you don't sanctify the 51st year. So the Gemara's question was, what does this pasuk shnasa chamishim teach us? So Gemara, I'll tell you what it teaches us. Without that pasuk, I would think that Yevel becomes holy into the 51st year. Why? Because you do add from week down to Kodesh. So if Yevel is a holy year, maybe you have to add a little bit at the end. So the Torah says, no. Shnasa Chamishim Shana teaches us that only the 50th year is holy and nothing before. So the Gemara learns two things in the Shnasa Chamishim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechaman Breka teaches us Shnasa Chamishim that the whole year is holy. It doesn't start from Yom Kippur. What do you do? From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the slaves are free, but they don't go home. And the Chachamim learn, Shnasa Chamishim Shana teaches us that only the 50th year is holy, and not the 51st year. What comes out interesting, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Shnasa Chamishim Shana is adding. That not only does it start Yom Kippur, it starts 10 days earlier from Rosh Hashanah. According to the Chachamim, it's an exclusion. Only the 50th year and not the 51st year. What?
Even if the slave was purchased last year before the...
Yevil gets him out. Even the 6 years he doesn't last. Like this, a Jewish slave lasts 6 years. Yeah? Then, he goes out. Then, 6 years from the time you bought him. Then he goes out. If he wants to stay long, he stays to Yevil. But I think, I'm pretty sure that even if you buy yourself, to double check the halach, even if you buy them right before, I think Yevil, he goes out anyway.
They bought it less.
Yeah, but you paid less for it, right? That's why even a slave, when you buy a slave for the 6 years, it's prorated, so to speak, for the 6 years. Moshe, there's a din, a Jewish slave can always buy himself out. A Goyish slave stays forever, right? But if a Jewish slave, which is sold either because he stole, had no money to pay back, or because he's so broke that he can't push it, make a living, right? So the din was, that's why he sold for 6 years. If any time during the 6 years, the slave gets money, he wins a lottery ticket, whatever, or his family wants to buy him out, they automatically buy him out.
His master's, right?
No, not a Jewish slave, only a Goyish slave. So it's like Eved Ivri is basically similar to a worker that's a contract for 6 years. And he can't break the contract, so to speak. It's not that whatever he owns belongs to, it's only a Goyish slave. Okay? Now, what happens, Lamashal, to make it simple, you buy a slave for 6 years for $600. After 3 years, David comes up with $300, or the family comes up with $300, and they say, "Master, here's the $300, I want the slave to go." You can't stop it. He goes out free. Per whatever it is, per year, you know, the price is divided by six, and whatever it is, it is. Okay, then.
Why do you call him slave? Why don't you call him the worker?
Because Eved is an Eved. Because he has one din that he works 24 hours a day. And if he's not married, I'm sorry, if he's married, his master can give him a non-Jewish woman to produce non-Jewish slaves. That's the only... Now the Gemara says, on top of the page, for Rabbanan, according to the Chachamim, they don't learn out that you sanctified from the beginning. It says, Shnasa Chamishim Shana, Atameina, you count the 50th year. And you don't count the 51st year. Lafukim and Rabbi Yehuda, this excludes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Shnasa Chamishim, Eilu Lakan Ulakan, that the 50th year goes for both. I'll explain in a second. Kamash Malan, it teaches us not. Now, it's a very, very big difference in counting years. Mashiach comes, there's going to be a field day figuring out all these Yevilah stuff. For instance, the way normally, according to the Rachachom, the way it works is as follows. Everything is divided into 7 year cycles, right? So you have 7 year cycle, 6 years you work, the 7th year is Shemitah. Then you start again. Right? Now, the 49th year, which is the 7th cycle, the 50th year starts. Right? Now, is the 50th year the first year of the new cycle of 7? Or do you start the new cycle of 7 on the 51st year? When does the new cycle start? Right? Today, where we don't have Yovel, but we have the laws of Shemitah in Israel, right? Shemitah still applies in Israel today, but we don't have the laws of Yovel. So the way today it works is, the 50th year, because it's not Yovel, the 50th year is the first year of the new cycle. Mm-hmm. Understand? Now, how did it work in the time of the Beis Hamikdash when they had Yovel? The 50th year, was that like neutral year, and the 51st year started the first year of the new cycle of 7? Mm-hmm. Or is the 50th year for both?
Both.
Rabbi Yehuda holds it goes for both. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the 51st year is the second year of the new cycle. The Chachamim hold no. This is what the Gemara is saying. The Rabbanan hold no. The 50th year doesn't count. So, the 51st year is the first year of the new cycle. And that's going to make a big difference, you should know. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be off a year per 50-year cycle. So in 500 years, you're going to be 10 days off. I mean, it's going to be a whole different cheshbon.
A year off,
right? What did I say? A day off. You'll be 10 years off, right? You're right. Sorry, 10 years off. Not years, not days.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says, this is what the Gemara, the top of the page again. V'rabbanon shnas chamishim atameinim. You only count the 50th year. V'atameinim shnas chamishim achot, but you don't count the 51st year. What does this mean? La'afukim Rabbi Yehuda. To say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to exclude Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the Amish Nas Chamishim Eilu Lukanu Lukan. It goes for both. Okay? Number one, V'kamashman, and it also teaches us, delay me, delay, that it's not. Okay? Taisa says that the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, by the way.
Yeah?
That's what Taisa says over here. But I don't know what goes on over here. It's not so poshut. So he says, "Afilach alach Rabbi Yehuda." That goes for both. Well, that today for sure goes for both.
Hmm.
It doesn't even go for. It's just a new cycle. That's it. And also, now the Gemara says, "The Mesiv and Michal al Kedush min Olam." How do I know that you have to add from the weekday onto Shabbos, or the weekday onto Shemitah, mm-hmm. or the weekday onto Yovel? How do we know this?
Mm-hmm.
The Tanya says in the Chumash, "V'chodesh v'akotzer tishbeis." In the plowing and in the harvesting, tishbeis you should rest.
Yes.
This is about Shemitah year. So Rabbi Kiva, Eimer. So it says, Rabbi Kiva says, what's the Torah telling me here? Ein etzarach le'mechodesh v'akotzer shel shviyas. The Torah doesn't have to tell me the plowing and the harvesting of Shviyas, if that's what the Torah means, it already says Sotchalei Sizra. It already says the seventh year you can't harvest and reap. So what does it mean? What it teaches us is as follows, that the planting of Erev Shviyas, Hanichnas the Shviyas that goes into the Shviyas year, or Kotze Shal Shviyas, the reapings of the seventh year, hanichnas the mitzvah shviyas, it goes into the eighth year, is also hegged. It's also forbidden. Means the Torah says as follows: seventh year, no harvesting, no planting, no nothing. Then the Torah says, v'chodesh v'kotze tishbeis, from the plowing and the harvesting, you should rest. It said that already. So Rabbi Kiva says, no, the Torah is adding. What does it mean? That if you planted something before Shemitah, into Shemitah, it's still Shemitah. And if something grew in Shemitah, and you harvest it after Shemitah, it's still Shemitah. So Rabbi Kiva says, what is this pasuk telling us? That not only is the Shemitah year itself holy, but it starts before Shemitah, and it ends after Shemitah.
3 months before.
I don't know if it's 3 months before.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, so you can do it.
No, it's Erev Shviyas. And, for instance, Rashi explains, at the end, any grain that grew a third of it, not 3 months, a third of the growth in the Shemitah year, even though two-thirds grow after Shemitah, you can't use it. I don't know if it's the chesed of 3 months. Rashi says a third. It says 30 days before Shemitah. That means if you planted something 30 days before Shemitah, the din of Shemitah is going to apply on it. So what do you see from Rabbi Kiva that you add from Chol unto Kodesh? That's what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Shmuel says, what does it teach us discussing Shabbos? Ma chodesh reshus, just like plowing. One second. Okay, so he says, Rabbi Shmuel says, ma chodesh reshus, just like plowing. Is reshus optional, meaning there's no obligation ever to plow. If you want, you could plow. I'll explain in a second. So the Gemara says, ma'achodesh reshus, just like plowing b'chlal, is optional. Avkotze reshus, reaping is also
reshus.
Meaning, yotze ksir ha'emer, which excludes the ksir of Eimer, cutting the Eimer, which is mitzvah, and therefore you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel learns this pasuk as for Shabbos. Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel goes, there's a rule in Torah, when there's an extra pasuk, and you don't need it for where it is, use it for something else. That's the rule in Torah. If there's an extra pasuk somewhere, you don't need it, put it for somewhere else. Okay? Now, by the sabbatical year, the Torah says already, don't plant. Then the Torah says, don't plant. Chodesh and Katsir. Don't plow and don't harvest. So the Gemara asks, well, it's extra. So Rabbi Kiva says it teaches us to add. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, doesn't tell us to add. Tells us a different din. You don't need it by Shemitah to put it to Shabbos. What does it mean? Shabbos, you're not allowed to plow. You're not allowed to harvest. On a regular Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel says like this, what does the Torah teach us? That it's only optional plowing you're not allowed to do. Optional harvesting you're not allowed to do. But if it's a harvesting of a mitzvah, you're allowed to do it even on Shabbos. For instance, you have to cut the Eimer on the second day of Pesach. You have to cut the Eimer. What happens if it was Shabbos? Are you allowed to do it? So Rabbi Shmuel says you could do it. You're not allowed to harvest on Shabbos. So Rabbi Shmuel says, we have a pasuk by Shemitah that's not needed for Shemitah. What does the pasuk say? You can't plow and you can't harvest. Now, plowing, there's never a mitzvah to plow. So therefore, the Gemara learns what harvesting is forbidden, a harvesting that's similar to plowing. Meaning, just like plowing is optional, a harvesting, which is optional, is forbidden to do on Shabbos. But if it's a mitzvah plowing, a mitzvah harvesting, if it's a cutting the omer, then you would be allowed to do it on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Kiva, we learn out from the pasuk, you add from before Shemitah and after Shemitah unto Shemitah. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, we don't add. What does the pasuk teach us? Something else. That on a regular Shabbos, if it's a harvesting of a mitzvah, where do you have such a case? Only by cutting the omer, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. So now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shmuel, Meisifim Michal Alakedesh Minolei. So if so, if Rabbi Shmuel learns this pasuk for something else, how does Rabbi Shmuel know that you have to add from the weekday unto Yom Tov, or Shabbos, or Shemitah? Rabbi Kiva learned it out from this pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel, though, is using the pasuk for something else. But everybody holds you have to add from weekday to Shabbos. So the Gemara says, from where do we learn out, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that you have to add from the weekday unto Shabbos? So he says, Nafka Imiditanya, he learns it out from a brais. This is a din by Yom Kippur. It says by Yom Kippur, V'inisem es nafshi seichem, you should afflict yourself, meaning fast, betisha, on the ninth day. So the Gemara says, Yochu betisha, I would think you would fast on the ninth day. Tamulayme ba'erev, it says in the evening. Yo'i ba'erev yochu m'shetachshach, if it's in the evening, I would think only when it gets dark. Tamud Leimer Betisha, it says in the ninth. It's a very strange pasuk. We know that Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of Tishrei. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But there's a very strange pasuk. The pasuk says the following expression. V'inisim es nafshi seichem, betisha lachedish ba'erev, me'erev ad'erev tishbisu shabbatchem. The Torah says you should fast on the ninth in the evening. From evening to evening you should fast. That's a very strange thing, because learning the pasuk as is, I would think Yom Kippur is on the ninth day of the month. The Torah says, on the ninth day in the evening, from evening to evening you should rest, meaning also fast and everything, right? So the Gemara says, what is the pasuk? We know Yom Kippur is on the 10th, because there's a lot of other psukim that say clearly on the 10th. What's the Torah saying over here? So the Gemara says like this. Betisha, when it says the word nine, I would think you start on the ninth. You start on the ninth. Torah says no, be'erev, in the evening. So maybe evening means when it gets dark, meaning the night of the 10th. The Gemara says no, it says in the ninth. What does the Torah teach us? That you have to add to the 10th from the ninth. Mm-hmm. To the 10th, you have to add from the ninth. Because if the Torah only meant at night, be'erev, why does it say betisha? So Tisha teaches us, you start on the 9th. But not on the 9th, you start on the 10th. But you have to bring in a little bit from the 9th into the 10th. And therefore you have to start a few minutes earlier. Mm-hmm. Like we know, you start Shkia before Shkia, whatever, you start a little bit earlier. So he says, okay, let's see this inside again. It says, V'inisim es nafshi seichem betisha. You have to fast on the 9th. So the Gemara says, Yochu betisha. I would think on the 9th you fast. Tamad leimer ba'erev, the Torah says at night. Iba erev, yochu m'shetachshach. If it's at night, I would think only when it gets dark. Tamad leimer betisha. But the Torah says on the 9th. So the Gemara is asking, Haketzer, how does it work? Is it the 9th? Or is it the night of the 10th? Which one is it? So the Gemara says, Maschul misanim mibe'edyeim. It teaches us you have to fast during, start during the day. A little bit. There's no amount, even a minute. Malamed, it teaches us, Shemesifim michael ala kodesh. You have to add from the weekday unto kodesh. So the Gemara says, Einli ala b'knisasi. This only teaches me when Yom Kippur starts. B'yitziyosim minayin, how do I know when Yom Kippur ends? You also have to, you know, a little bit longer. Tamalemer may erev ad erev. Says from evening to evening. So we learn out the second evening like the first evening. Just like the first evening you add a little bit, the second evening, at the end of the day, you also add a little bit. Then the Gemara says, Enli ala Yom Kippur. I only know this din for Yom Kippur, that you have to add to the day of Yom Kippur. Shabbos is minayin. How do I know that every Shabbos? You have to bring in Shabbos a little bit earlier and end Shabbos a little bit later. Minayin, how do I know? Talmud Leimet Tishbisu. It says in the pasuk, Tishbisu Shabbatchem. Tishbisu is extra. Tishbisu teaches us Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, Yomim Tevim. Minayin, how do I know Yom Tiv? Talmud Leimet Shabbatchem. Says, in other words, Tishbisu Shabbatchem. Tishbisu teaches us the din applies to every Shabbos. Shabbatchem teaches us every Yom Tiv. The Gemara says, what does it mean? Komakim sheyesh b'shvus. Anytime where you have to rest from work. Meaning, Shabbos, Yom Tiv, Yom Kippur, anytime there's Shabbos, resting, meisifim michael ala kodesh. You add from the weekday to kodesh. So the Gemara says, so you see from here as follows. Rabbi Shmuel learns from the fact that the Torah says from the 9th to the 9th, you know, that whole thing, you add from Chol HaLakedish. Rabbi Kiva learns it out from a different passage. Rabbi Kiva, like we said before, it says, Bechadish HaBekatzit Tishbeis. So Rabbi Kiva learns it out from Shemitah. Rabbi Shmuel learns it out from Yom Kippur. But now the question is, Rabbi Kiva, who learns out adding from weekday to Shabbos, from Shemitah, what does he do with this Tisha Pasuk? Mm-hmm. This Tisha Pasuk doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. We learn it, Rabbi Shmuel learns it, to teach us that you add from the week down to Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But Rabbi Kiva knows that already from a different Pasuk. So Rabbi Kiva, mm-hmm. What does Rabbi Kiva learn from that? Mm-hmm. So Gemara says an interesting halacha. He needs it for Rabbi Chiya bar Difti, bar Rav from Difti said. The Tanya Chiya bar Rav mi Difti, Chiya bar Rav from Difti learns the following thing. It says, V'nisim es nafshi seichem betisha. This is a din Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch brings on this Gemara. He says a very simple question. It says in the Pasuk, V'nisim es nafshi seichem betisha. It says in the Torah, you fast on the 9th. So he says, V'chi betisha misanin. Do we fast on the 9th? We fast on the 10th. Why does the Torah say we fast on the 9th if Yom Kippur is on the 10th? Elulei Melech teaches us. Whoever eats and drinks on the 9th, you're supposed to eat and drink a lot. Milo Levakosev, the Torah considers it. It's like you fasted the 9th and the 10th.
It doesn't make sense.
Oh yeah, I have to explain to you why it makes sense. Obviously, there's an open contradiction here. The Torah says you fast on the 9th, and we don't. We fast on the 10th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Torah obviously is teaching us that by doing something, it's going to be considered fasting on the 9th. What do you have to do? Eat and drink. But by eating and drinking on the 9th, you'll get reward as if you fasted on the 9th also. And as Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says, you can't compare the reward for eating for the reward for fasting. I mean, which one's harder? Fasting is harder than eating, obviously, yeah? So you get more reward for fasting than you do for eating.
Eating is pleasure.
Yeah, and fasting is suffering. So you get more reward for fasting than you do for eating. Mm-hmm. Yet this Pasuk teaches us, Rabbi Chiya Midifti, what's the name? Chiya bar Rav from Difti says, the Torah is teaching us that by eating on the 9th, I'll consider it as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th.
Just like Shabbat, Hanukkah.
Yeah. Oh. So therefore, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Kiva,
it's not easy.
Huh?
Eating is not easy.
Depends for whom?
No, you gotta go buy, drink, work for you.
People would rather do that and eat than fast. Trust me. I'm telling you. Ask a guy on Yom Kippur in the middle of the day, what would you rather be doing now? Going to the store and buying food and eating it, or sitting here and fasting? There's no question.
Yeah.
But the Torah says, and it says because Hashem cares about our health, He doesn't want us to fast for 2 days. That's why, by the way, the same question is, every Yom Tov is 2 days, why don't we have 2 days Yom Kippur? It should be 2 days Yom Kippur.
That's
2 days Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Pesach, so, you know, every year should be 2 days Yom Kippur. So the Gemara answers, I mean, Halacha says that because today we really have a calendar and we really know to fast 2 days is too hard. So the Chachamim, who made the second day Yom Tov, were lenient about 2 days Yom Kippur. But it says Takan Shulchan Aruch, people, now, not nowadays, it says in Shulchan Aruch, people that were Takan very healthy, and 2 days is no problem, they fasted Takan 48 hours.
Straight? Or they
straight.
Broke
straight. Yom Kippur goes night to night. I mean...
No border, no.
Nothing, 48 hours. No. It's not Ramadan, Lahavdil, that they eat fast by day and eat at night.
You can hold it down 7 days without eating.
Huh? Yeah, but they eat at night. Yeah. They don't fast 30 days.
They should.
They should. Get rid of some of them. Yes, I'm saying get rid of most of them. But that's the thing. But the Gemara learns out. Therefore, the Gemara says like this: Rabbi Shmuel learns out from Tisha L'Chedesh Ba'erev Mi'erev Ad'erev that you have to add from Chol to Kedesh. Rabbi Kiva learns out Meisif from Michel Ala Kedesh from Shmita. So, what does he do with the Pasuk Tisha? So, the Gemara learns that Rabbi Kiva learns that Chiya Barav Midifti that by eating on the 9th, it's considered as if you fasted on the 9th also. Okay.